And as you probably know, we are going to continue our series on the parables in the book of the Gospel of Luke. And you're right, I don't have to look that way. That's amazing. I should just... And today I'll be reading from the chapter 15. The first two parables, I'm going to share with you two parables, and I got the easy ones this week, so I'm blessed. And I'm sure that you know that the parables in the chapter 15 are one of the most known and most loved of the parables that Jesus told during his ministry and his life in the earth. And I'll be sharing with you two of them. There are three parables of lost and found. There is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I'll be sharing with you the lost sheep and the lost coin today. In the last section of the book of Luke, from the mid chapter 9 to chapter 19, we have all the teachings and parables, mostly all the teachings and parables that Jesus tells to people who he encounters on his way, on his journey to Jerusalem, and also also showing a glimpse of kingdom of God, and demonstrate how in action demonstrates by reaching out to poor, to the sinners and to the sick. Jesus is a very countercultural character. He teaches his disciples that kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, things are different and they value differently. Now I'm going to read from ESV version. Please turn to your passage in the Bible and let's read it together. So, chapter 15, verse 1, the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribe grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, before I get to the context, because I want to share a little bit of context of these two passages, I'd like to draw your attention to the similar pattern that we can see in both parables. So just bear it in mind that both parables start with something that has been lost. So there's a lost thing. And there is a diligent search to find. And then after it is found, there's a party and joy and a celebration. Now, a little bit of context about why Jesus told these parables. So the first verse we read, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. But not everyone is happy about this, especially Jewish leaders. Jesus told these three lost and found parables in order to highlight the fundamental difference between himself and the Pharisees. He welcomed sinners, they objected and rejected them. And they had this false notion of holiness. They thought that they would be contaminated by contacting with the sinners and tax collectors. So they kept their distance. Jesus, however, socialized with them. He was even called a friend of tax collectors and sinners in Matthew 11, 19. If Pharisees see a prostitute, for instance, they would gather a robe around them and they would shrink away from them. However, if a prostitute approached Jesus, he did not shrink from her, but accepted her devotion. The tax collectors, on the other hand, were despised by both people and also Pharisees, because their collaboration with the Roman Empire, and they were usually guilty of extortion. Sinners, on the other hand, was a term that Pharisees used for common people who were ignorant of law. Now, the term sinners, from the Pharisees' perspective, could have been interpreted in two different ways. One is either morally unclean, which they would have called them sinners, or ritually unclean. But anyway, they would have avoided them, the contacts with them anyway. The Pharisees disliked both groups, so when Jesus associated with them, they were outraged. And they said, "This man welcomes sinners," they said in shock horror. Now, who are these Pharisees? It's good to know a little bit about Pharisees. So the Pharisees are a relatively small group of people, but highly influential group of Jewish people that consider themselves healthy and holy before God, because of their observance of law. And they were blind to their spiritual sickness. They would have regarded sinners as sinners, anyone who failed to keep God's law according to their interpretation. Now, can we see why they were outraged when Jesus hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners? So they said that the man receives sinners and eats with them. But what they mean is actually Jesus. If you're really the Son of God, if you're really the Messiah, why are you hanging out with these people? You should hang out with us. We are the Holy One. We are the Righteous One. We are the pure and clean. You should not hang out with these castaways and sinners and lowly people. And that's why Jesus, with all his love that even he has for these Pharisees, tells these parables. We should bear in mind that sometimes we can be the Pharisees of our own time. We can easily be spiritually blind and judge people and even isolate them and get our robes and shrink from them. That's why the scripture is always relevant to any time and any age. Now, I'd like to share some points with you. The first point, which we have already discussed, is inclusivity of God's kingdom. So Jesus is concerned for the outsider. So he welcomes and eats with them. And eating with someone, this table fellowship, is welcoming these people in the extended personal kind of like friendship. But the Pharisees thought that this will make them unclean. But as Jesus cleansed a leper and never got contaminated by them, he welcomes the sinners and forgives them, and he never gets defiled by them, by associating with them. So Romans 15:7 says, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Right, now let's talk sheep. Have you ever met a sheep? Oh, that's a lovely sheep. Okay. Have you ever met a sheep? Yeah? Oh, that's great. So probably then you know that sheep by nature has a really, it doesn't have a fantastic eyesight, but they are incredibly social. So they like to stick to their flock, and they don't usually naturally wander away, right? And if you want to question me, I Googled this. Okay, I'm sure there is a sheep.com you can search yourself. So often if a sheep wanders away, it can be a sign of sickness because they don't usually naturally wander away. So a single sheep that wanders away in this story from this flock is vulnerable. irrespective of what the sheep thinks. Based on the opinion of the shepherd, though, the sheep is lost. From the perspective of the shepherd, the sheep is in a very vulnerable situation. And it is different when you know you are lost and you don't. Have you ever been lost in a supermarket or grocery shop? Yeah? Well, I have. And it wasn't like when I was 2 or 3. It was like a few months ago. And I was following my wife. And this happens often when my duty is just to carry the trolley, to just push the trolley around. And it happens often as I just push the trolley and I just look away and look back. She's not there. And once, it was really extreme, because once we was on a road trip and I was just pushing a trolley, and as usual, I lost her and I was searching, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna go back and forth. I will see somewhere her around the aisles. But I couldn't find her. She was on the second floor. I don't know how she got there so suddenly. But all these thoughts came into my mind. I remember this movie called Taken. And I thought, gosh, what if she has been kidnapped and I'd never noticed? What should I do now? And my phone was in the car. Oops. Sorry. Too excited. And my phone was in the car, so I couldn't phone her. So there was this level of anxiety. Anyway, I don't know why I told you this story. But I just want to say that sometimes, if you know that you're lost, you have this kind of anxiety, if you're aware of it. But not all the time we know that we are lost and we are aware of our lostness. When we talk to people, you often see that they feel they're fine, spiritually fine, especially when you speak to unbelievers. There's not this expectation. There's not this need. They don't express the need. To be found, really. And when you dig a little bit deeper into layers, you will see that they fill this void in their life. And you can hear this conversation around that thing that is missing. And this is a language of lostness. And they try different things. We have all done that. We try things to fill that void. They think that those things will fill that void. And they might momentarily fill those void, but they're not permanent. The enemy makes us wander away to a place of isolation and aloneness. It follows sometimes. Sometimes with things that seems right, something better, seems good, seems of good benefit, but it's just wandering away. And very few people are intentionally get lost. Most people just become lost. By the way, you might have noticed that I haven't mentioned anything about a lost coin parable. I'm going to move back and forth in between these parables, and hopefully we get to that shortly. Okay, back to our shepherd. Now, the sheep is lost. What does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 that are with him in an open country and goes after the one that is lost. This is stories about a reckless shepherd, don't you agree? Just no shepherd in the right mind leaves 99 sheep to go after one just lost sheep. This is not the way how it works. This leads me to the second point, which is God's immeasurable love and care for lost. Jesus is telling us that God's love for people with a reckless, God loves people with a reckless love. He doesn't count the sins like the way that the Pharisees do. He loves them so much, as just the song that you would have heard, the reckless love. For him, there is no shadow that he won't light up. There is no mountain that he won't climb up to come after the lost. God loves for each individual so great that he seeks them out. You may be able to understand when someone approaches to God for forgiveness of their sins, and they're seeking and coming for the grace of God, for this forgiveness of their sins. But a God who tenderly searches for sinners and then joyfully forgives them must love an extraordinary love. As we sang in all these songs, God loves you passionately, wholeheartedly, and unconditionally. No matter how much you may have messed up in your life, whatever your regrets are, God is actively, and continually searching for you. It's never too late to turn to God. He will accept you and embrace you. Similar to the parable of lost sheep, the parable of lost coin starts with something that is lost. There's a woman who lost a silver coin. And a single coin at the time, it was called drachma, and it was equivalent to a day of wages. So this woman lost a day of wages. The coin is still in the house, but it's lost. Losing a coin is still lost, but it is different than losing sheep. Just want to clear out this here. So the coin is lost, right? But its value isn't. If you lose money, it's gone. You had planned for that money. Unfortunately, you lost it. But the value of that money hasn't been lost. It is still valuable, even though it is no longer available. So money is, for some of you, you might know, but money is backed with something that is significant. It inherits its value. So if you have a piece of note or a metal coin, by its own, it doesn't value anything, but it is backed with something. Back in my country, I used to work for Central Bank, and I was actually working in a department called printing and minting. So I was quite aware of what is happening with the money and coins and everything and the policy behind everything. It might be different in country, but in my country, Iran, money is usually backed by gold and valuable jewelries like diamonds and other precious stones and things that are in treasury. So whatever you have is backed by something. It has a value. So what are our values tied to? That's the question I want to ask you. Sometimes our circumstances makes us away from God. Sometimes we feel lost. We are still in a house, but we are lost. Maybe our values are tied and backed with something that is not from God, right? Sometimes our circumstances, but we just have to remember that our value is not defined but by anything in this world. Our value is backed by God. When God created mankind, says in Genesis, he made them in likeness of himself. He created us in his own likeness. This is incredible to think about. It's beyond our mind. Now, if you look back at the lost sheep, you may ask, so what about those 99? So we have this discussion with my wife and Taryn about, there was a little bit of kind of like disagreement of how this part should go. But what about those 99 sheep? So what happened to them? They are left in an open country. Are they alone? Are they on their own? Well, that reckless shepherd is gone after that one lost sheep. I think that those sheep, they need to work together. There's a flock of sheep there. And there are some leader. If you go back to the sheep.com, you will see that there are always leader sheep among sheeps. Among sheep. Sorry, I keep saying sheeps. It's so annoying. All right, English language. It's fine. I don't know why you guys do it this way. But anyway, there are some leadership sheep. So there is only one shepherd, but there are leadership. So there is this kind of like expectation among the shepherd placed on these 99 that they should they're not lost and they have to behave well. And Jesus laid that expectation among the already found as well. But it is important to realize that we are not alone. God is with those who are already saved as well as searching for the lost. Okay? Jesus says, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Remember, We are all sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, do we have passion, enough passion for the lost? This is a question that I'd like to, I like us to ponder upon. Now let's talk about, I have to go quickly, we don't have much time. So now let's talk about the search party in both parables. They do two things. They never stop searching for the lost, they never give up, and they do all the work. The shepherd does all the work in carrying the lost sheep home. In verse 5 we read, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. The woman lights a lamp and sweeps the house and seeks diligently until she finds the lost coin." Does this give you the picture of a great shepherd bearing on his shoulder what we rightly deserve? We may ask God, "How much do you love me?" And look at the cross and you see Jesus with his hands wide open, willing to put you on his shoulders. If you are lost, let the great shepherd carry you and restore you. When the coin is lost, the woman never gives up. She is the one who seeks diligently until she finds it. She is the one who lights the lamp. Can you see the similarities of what I'm saying to what we just sang earlier? When the sheep is lost, the shepherd is willing to sacrifice everything in order to find the lost sheep. God doesn't give up on the lost. And the good news for those who are lost is that God is pursuing them in his love through Jesus every single day. Now, my final point, the joy over repentance. So both shepherd and woman are rejoicing as they have found what they have lost. They come home and call together all the neighbors and friends and saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found what I've lost." And Jesus is telling Pharisees, "If you were really my friends, you would have recognized that this is a reason to celebrate." But the Pharisees are more critical of lost sheep that are found than celebrating. And now we see this picture of God's kingdom is like a party. This is the opposite of many people usually think. They don't associate God with dance and music and feasting and celebrating, right? In verse 7, it says, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And in verse 10 says, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So the question is, are we resemble Jesus here or Pharisees? Whether we avoid contact with the lost or seek them. We must also not misunderstand this, because the fact that Jesus welcomes sinners doesn't mean that he agrees or overlooks their sins. On the contrary, both parables end up on a note of repentance, right, and celebration. So there is joy in heaven, he said, over even one sinner who repents. Now I just want to bring this to a close. The world that we live in is not fair. There is division everywhere. There's a division in race. There's division in intellect. There's division in our appearance. But God is God of unity. He is God who pulls and holds things together. If you are that lost coin, no matter what you've gone through in your life, your value has not been lost to God, right? Just have this in mind. Your value has not been lost to your Heavenly Father. There's a search party going on everywhere now, okay? Every day, in every corner of this world, because God does not define the lost the way the culture defines them. The doorway to salvation is narrow, but it's always open. Jesus is saying to Pharisees that you are in the house, but you are lost. And saying to the tax collectors and sinners that although you may be outcast and devalued, you never lost your value to me. I'm here to seek and save that which is lost. I'm here to find you if you want to be found. I'm sweeping every corner of this house. I'm here to restore all that was lost in your life. He's interested in touching your identity as his heir. He is our great shepherd. In John 10, 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, may I ask you again, what is your passion for lost people like? Do you have a passion to pray for and engage with the lost? Jesus commands us that we should be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth, and baptize people in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what he says that I'm sure and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He's going to be with the 99 as well as the lost to the very end of the age. Now, the reason that I ask you, I put those papers and pens for you guys on the floor, and I want to do something together. And can I invite the bands up, please, as we are singing the last song? I would like you guys to put some names that you know and they are lost on these papers and put them on that table. And we're going to pray for the lost people today. And at the end of the service, every one of us, if we could, take one of these papers. It doesn't matter if you know that person or not. And take home and pray over them this week. Stick this paper on the fridge or anywhere and just let's pray for these people. So my parents are lost. My brother and sisters are lost. I'm sorry, I'm emotional. And I would love to pray for them. So I'm going to put this paper here. And there are pens everywhere, but please share the pens. And just please put the paper back, put the pens back so we can, at the end of the service, get the pens back. Yeah? Shall we come and put the names on the table, please? Yeah. I'm just going to start praying now. Yeah, Father God, thank you for your unlavishing love for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with our problems, with our circumstances, Lord. And you never give up on us, Lord. You never, never, never give up searching for our heart. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you that you're searching every corner of this world for the love that you have for the lost. Thank you that there is someone who is found every minute as we speak. Thank you that you're working wonderfully and greatly among us, Lord. Thank you for your love, Jesus. And I pray for every single name that is on that table, that your grace may be upon them, Lord. And I know that how much you love them, Lord. I just want us to pray purposely, Lord. Give us the strength to pray purposefully for every single name on that table. Thank you, Jesus. And if you have, if you feel that you are lost, if you feel that if you haven't given your life to Jesus, can I encourage you to come? And I'd love to pray for you. Can I encourage you to come forward after the service and we can pray together? Thank you.